Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 168 of the Milk Bar. Jason's over here. And how are you, young lady?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you.
Good week?
Oh, first day back at work today.
And the sun comes out.
I know. It's been raining on and off for the past 2 weeks, and I haven't been able to get out to do my garden or anything. And today it's like blazing sunshine.
And I had absolutely fabulous weather whilst I was away in Llandudno over the weekend. It's Llandudno. It was just two L's together. I'm not very good at pronouncing things in Welsh. I have to sort of smile and go, no, I'm sorry, I'm English whenever I'm in Wales.
Do people think you're Welsh when you're there?
Oddly enough, no, because the Midlands accent gives the game away.
Yes, although it is a bit.
The place is pretty much full of Midlanders.
Do you know, we went there a few months ago for my birthday, and the chap that was on the trams going up and down the Orme, he's actually moved there from the Midlands because he always used to love going there on holiday.
Well, West Country in Somerset Way is pretty much the same. I was on a tour of the Cheddar Gorge, and there was somebody who was actually from Wolverhampton, the tour bus guide. But there we go.
It's obviously a popular place for all us Midlanders to head out to.
It's somewhere for us to go. It's nice.
Yeah, I think it's because it's quite close, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's by the sea.
A couple of hours away. We like the seaside.
Yeah.
Right, coming up on the show today, what have we got, Zoe?
The band today, it is Sebastopol.
We're having some music from them. Three tunes and three band members to have a chat with. We'll also be talking gymnastics with Adam Snaith from the Revolution Gymnastics Club. He's on the phone a little bit later. Kelly from the Beacon Centre for the Blind tells us about their Sports Quest dinner. We'll also be hearing about a forthcoming production of the Lichfield Youth Theatre as well.
Very exciting.
Oliver Rowe joining us on the line for that one. But first of all, we talked to a gentleman who found himself on the X Factor this weekend, not without a lot of effort, I'm sure. Joseph Whelan, hello, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm fantastic, absolutely amazing.
Now, we've heard some of your work before, because you were part of a band called Dementia, who did the Glory to the Boys single a while back.
Mm. And that's right, yeah.
Can I just say, Jason, is the second one of our guests to make it to X Factor.
Well, people who've been on the Echo
Street. Yes, been on previously.
Yeah, Liam Payne was on before and came in and sang for us. We've got to get you into sing sometime in the near future,
we're setting a trend.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that for you.
But obviously you've got a lot going on at the moment, and there's lots of things we can't talk about, but we can talk about the fact you had a great weekend of celebrity stardom with your appearance on X Factor. So tell us how the story began.
Oh yeah, it's been an amazing weekend, to be honest. I mean, I decided to go for X Factor this year because I broke up with the band I was in recently, and I was just feeling a bit, after being in the band for like 10 years, you tend to feel a bit lonely and on my own. I just thought, I'm just going to go for it this year, and 26 now, so I feel like I'm getting old, so I thought I'll give it one good shot. It worked out for the best.
One last chance to get on the telly. So, when did the audition process start?
I applied for the X Factor the early part of the year. Been back and forth and auditioning and whatnot before I actually got to audition live. And it took a lot of effort to get on the show, but I got on there.
So you don't actually audition at first in front of the judges, do you?
Yeah, do you have to send a tape in first of all as well, or did you turn up at and see some researchers?
No, the video application I sent off. When you send the application form, I sent a video with it just so they could see what I was like as well. But yeah, I mean, for the actual audition, getting there was completely really nerve-wracking, but at the same time really exciting, so I was just glad to have the opportunity.
Now, again, I don't watch X Factor, so how many judges how many judges are there, and what actually happened when you start to sing and stuff? How did that all come together?
Well, there's four judges this year. There's Gary Barlow, Julissa, Mel B and Louis Walsh, our favourite, has been there all the time. I walked onto the stage, and before I even started singing, it was just like, the crowd was just getting crazy, which sort of...
Would this be mostly girls screaming about what you were probably not wearing?
See, I haven't seen it on Saturday. Was you not wearing much?
You were wearing clothes this time, right?
I was wearing clothes.
Because normally you perform at least shirtless, don't you?
Hot, that's all.
Yeah.
He's keeping that for later on, isn't he?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, when I got on the stage, I actually started singing. I mean, the comments I had were brilliant, and it was just, it was really nerve-wracking, to be honest, because having done the rock thing for so long, I really didn't want to let myself down on the show, you know. So I felt like I had a lot of pressure riding on me at the same time as singing.
Mm.
But I pulled through in the end, and it turned out to be a really good audition, and I was really happy with the way it went. I don't think it could have gone actually any better.
So 4 yeses from the judges.
Yep.
And you sang a Led Zepp song.
That's right. Yeah, I sang a Led Zeppelin song. I mean, Robert Plant is probably one of my biggest idols ever for singing. I look up to him so much, and being he's a Wolverhampton man himself, I thought, you know, what better song to sing than pay tribute to a hero, really. So,
could you sing any of your
don't make him do that now.
No, not now. I meant later on in the process, because obviously you want to sing something that people know, so they can, you know, perhaps sing along to it. But perhaps later on in the show, if you get further, would you be able to sing some of your own stuff? Because obviously you would have written quite a lot over the last few years.
I'm hoping I get the chance to, show some of my songwriting abilities off. I mean, songwriting is my biggest strength rather than performing. It's what I'm best at is songwriting. So if they give me the opportunity to show that, then I'll be glad to.
But your work, though, is a bit shouty, isn't it?
No. There's a song of mine which is out now, Surrender, and it's more of an acoustic ballad. You know, I can go from one extreme to the other. It's just pretty much an all-round singer. It's just going on. I wanted to go on with a bang, you know, when I went on to the X Factor and give them something that just really stood out. And I think if I had gone on singing, you know, some sort of ballad, soft song, I'd just been lost in the mix with absolutely everybody else who goes on the competition, because that's all anyone seems to do. When I was talking a bit different, I think it worked in my favour.
Have you had to withdraw any of your songs at all? Because I know one contestant has had to stop selling one of her singles.
No, I've got a song on YouTube, and it is available. I haven't had any, you know, I've been telling off for it.
But a lot of your work, though, has been done with the whole band, so you may not have complete control over it either.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, all my stuff that, that is available has been done quite a long time before I even applied for the show, you know. So I've done an album with Dementia. You know, I mean, Dementia's actually, you know, a separate artist to me, really. You know, I was in the band, but that day I don't think anyone's got any control over them. People are still buying the album now, so that's great.
Mm-hmm. So they can hear your work and what you can do, including that ballad Surrender as well?
Yeah. I mean, Surrender's the newest song that I've written, and it's proven quite popular at the minute. So
and where can people get their hands on that if they fancy listen to you?
It's on. You can get it on YouTube. If you just type my name in, just put Joseph Whelan in YouTube. It's the first song that comes up, I think. And also, it's available on iTunes and all the digital download sites. So yeah, it's available to buy.
No, I presume you get a share of the profits still on all the old stuff. If it suddenly shoots up that a lot of people that are watching you now go back and buy Dementia stuff.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You don't want to lose any of that, do you?
No, but it's there's not been that much attention drawn to Dementia from this, you know. I mean, Dementia was, it wasn't so much rock, it was full on metal, you know, so it's...
Shouty music.
So it might not appeal perhaps to everybody.
Yeah, maybe not.
Now, well, good luck with it all. I know that you've been involved in various bits of the competition. We can't talk about anything. You won't even tell us what's going on. And
I can't.
I've known you for years now. I even met up with you when you were doing a sound check in Beatties once.
Oh, no.
That
was fun.
Dementia played the menswear department in Beatties.
Wasn't it supposed to be on the roof?
No, did the roof thing to happen as well? Because there was an event that you were trying to pull together that was going to involve performing on a roof somewhere as well, wasn't there?
That's right, yeah. I think there's some issues with, you know, the planning or the permission by the council or something like that. That would have been brilliant. But at least I've done in the menswear department. So I come out with a couple of pairs of CK jeans, so that's something good to come out.
Hidden in the guitar case, I'm guessing, but there we go.
No.
How dare you, Jason, an X Factor contestant, and you're insinuating naughty things.
No shoplifting in your case. But I mean, it's going to be absolutely great. Good luck with the rest of the competition, whatever happens. And we want you to come in and sing some of your own stuff for us here as soon as you're allowed to. Okay.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm glad to do that. Anytime you want me to, mate, I'll be in there.
No,
oh,
don't
for
forget
you.
Us either.
Yeah, no. When you do win, we expect.
We'll send you a badge to wear with our name on, and you can wear it on the final. That'd be good.
Yeah, we can. It's part of your stage outfit. We'll sort something out. Joseph, good to speak to you. Give us all the contact details and web pages to like and things like that. You have 30 seconds to advertise all of your links starting now.
Okay, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Joseph R. Whelan. And if you want to follow my Facebook page, it's facebook.com/ Joe Whelan Music. And YouTube, if you just type my name in, Joseph Whelan, you'll find everything on me.
Okay, well, say good luck with the competition. We will be speaking to you as you progress through the rounds, if that's okay, sir.
Yeah, that's absolutely fine, yeah.
Joseph, thanks for talking to us, and we will catch up with you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye. Right, let's take our first track from our featured band this week. Joseph is not involved at all. They are called... You do it.
Oh, Sebastopol.
Sebastopol, yeah. And this is their current single, Sending the Boats.
We've got 10 minutes before she's under and we're fish food. 'Cause it's 2:20, I swear I didn't see it. It was on my watch and I'm going down. Send the boat. Just find me before I'm gone. Send the boats, send the planes. Just find me, I'm going down again. Going down again. Going down again. I'm flying over mountains, across the deep, deep ravines. But I'm not falling, I'm floating into your life and out again. Send the boats, send the helicopters. Just find me before I'm gone. Send the boats, send the planes. Just find me, I'm going down again. Going down again. Going down again. In my life now is phosphorescence. I'm a birdman, no, I'm Neptune. I wear a money suit and cow. I am David, call me David.
Fantastic song, and there is a video available for that. We'll talk about that in a moment. The band of Sebastopol, the tune Sending the Boats, and the guys, and we have the full band on the phone. Nick Pell.
Hello there.
Hi, and your vocals?
Yeah, I'm vocals and bass.
Multi-talented.
Yes, I like a bit of bass.
Well, thank
Jason.
You very much.
And Phil Richards.
Hi.
And your guitar.
That's right.
I guess that well, because I know that Tom Standage.
That's right.
I've written it down right, and your drums.
That's all that's left, I'm afraid, after
it. Well, you could have been doing keyboards, left. But obviously it would have stood out in the track if there'd been keyboards there as well.
Yeah, we actually had a bit of a no keyboards policy as well.
Right. We will not have synthesizers.
So we have things that sound like, there's one that goes meow, and there's another one that sounds like an organ, but actually they're both guitars in disguise.
That's right, for me.
That's rather cunning, but there we go. So, Sevastopol, is that anywhere near the correct pronunciation?
Oh, that's exactly right.
It looks difficult with a number of... if you put that on Countdown, you could probably get quite a high score with that.
Yeah, we wanted to get like a really good kind of Scrabble hand out of it.
Where did it come from?
Well, it's quite a sort of an old-fashioned slang name for the guitar tuning that I use. So most guitarists, they kind of tune their guitars in a certain way, and that's not the way that I tune. I tune it in a sort of slightly old-fashioned, almost folky tuning, and that's actually the slang name for Sevastopol. But it's funny when we do gigs, because it's also, I think, a place in East Europe somewhere, so you get some people kind of... Exactly.
But it's also in California, so it has these lovely multiple meanings.
Nice. And South Wales. Don't forget South Wales.
Yes,
there's one there too.
I didn't know that.
Well, at least you're educating each other as you go along. So, Send the Boats, you've got a video for that. It's a single taken from the current album. Tell us the details on that one.
Yeah, I mean, Send the Boats, it was the first song, really, out of the whole batch. And I actually make documentaries, and I was on an island in winter covered in dead seals that had been torn apart, and the weather was closing in, and basically I was sort of lost and abandoned on the island, and I was waiting for a break in the weather for a plane to come and pick me up.
You skimmed straight past dead seals for some reason. Now that sounds rather unpleasant. Zoe, stop laughing. There's dead seals involved.
No, it's just the way you described it.
What on earth was going on? I take it you didn't cull these poor creatures yourself.
No, I was making a documentary about this mysterious killer. It's called the Corkscrew Killer, and it turned out to be an odd type of shark. But basically, it was a sort of an island covered in death, basically.
Nice.
And it was also the place where, you know, the perfect storm, the Andrea Gale, that fishing boat, they made the film with Mark Wahlberg about. And that's where the bits of that fishing boat rolled up. So it was quite a gloomy place, but I had some spare time and I was weathered in, and I started writing some songs, and they had you know, themes of, you know, loss, being abandoned, drowning, shipwrecks, and all these themes started bubbling up in the songs, and Send the Boats was the first one, which is like a sort of, you know, a call for help.
I
mean, effectively, you were really actually lost at sea, weren't you?
Yeah, it sort of felt like that, and it sort of kick-started something, and you know, a first batch of songs rolled off, and when I got back to the UK, I kind of, you know, got in touch with Tom and Phil, and it all began there, really.
Well, the brand new album "Hello All Stations," This Is Zero, which does feature the Send the Boats, is released on the 3rd of September. So, that, as far as we're concerned, that's today, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Good day.
How many tunes have you got on there altogether?
10.
And it's a good quantity. It's a nice album length. I sometimes like 11. But is that what you're telling me?
Well, it's to be honest, like we don't really like with these albums. It's like 17 or 20 tracks, because it's just, I think it's just kind of too much. And we kind of like the way that they used to make albums, where it's just like, you know, five songs a side. In fact, with this album, we even think of it as having two sides. You know, so kind of track five, we think of as being a bit like the end of side one, and track six is kind of like the beginning of side two. And as you said, it's just kind of a nice length, you know, kind of 40 minutes. You know, that's about as much as I think anyone can take.
But are you gigging this one as well? Are you travelling up and down?
Yeah, we are.
So whereabouts are you playing in the near future?
Well, at the moment, we're just trying to really kind of get it together in London. So we're doing about six or seven warm-up shows over the next few weeks just in London, and then we'll probably be going all around the country, and then maybe Europe in the new year.
Anywhere in the Midlands do you know of yet?
Well, of course. How could we go up the country without going to the Midlands? How could we not?
But you'll have a website with all the details of forthcoming gigs, which we shall share with you very shortly. Now, we're taking another couple of tunes from you. Winter Song, I'm hoping there's no dead seals in that. And also The Hateful Mob, and that could be a description of some sharks. So tell us a bit about those two tunes as well.
Oh dear, it's when you talk like this that we realise that actually it's a whole load of jolly songs about death. Winter Song is basically, it's a kind of a feel-good death song, would you say, Nick?
Yeah. I mean, Winter Song is, it's sort of the inevitability of departure. So
it's
so
to speak. But it's
death. Yeah, why not say it?
It's killer. Yeah, as Phil said, it's sort of a feel-good death song, but it's check it out. It's got a sort of it's quite uplifting, quite cathartic, but
not everything about death is going to be gloomy, though, is it? Because you're supposed to rejoice the life that you know a person or whatever
or
has lived, or a seal. So
yeah,
you know, it can't all be gloomy.
That's the way I see that song. Yeah. But the ending is much more. You know, it starts off quite wistful and then it gets quite epic at the end. And I read that to mean if you acknowledge that, you know, our time on this earth is fleeting, then at least you should have a good time while you're here. So that's what I think we're doing at the end of that song.
Yeah, but
that's right. Although having said that, as well as that feel good death song, there's actually quite a lot of feel bad death songs on the end.
Got element going on, yeah.
Is one of those The Hateful Mob then? Is that quite a depressing one?
Actually, no. Hateful Mob is the big romantic track. It's sort of an epic love ballad, which is it's about that feeling when you fall in love with someone that you feel like you've loved them forever, you know, and it's something that will never end. And I kind of took that idea and just talked about a love that spans sort of geological timescales. So there's conversation, you know, the lyrics sort of centre around, you know, the age of the dinosaurs and you know, events in history, and it just goes through, you know, it's almost like a love that's reincarnated. Mm-hmm. So that's a very romantic song, and I like that one. It's lovely.
And I mean, Nick, listening to your voice as well, it's absolutely got a massive richness to it. I don't know how it's sometimes it's the recording process, or sometimes it's what's been done to it afterwards, but it sounds absolutely fantastic on the tracks when I've listened to them.
Oh, that's really kind. But I think that has a lot to do with the way, as a trio, we've approached the sound of the album. So we're not sort of pummeling, you know, we're not pummeling our instruments. We're creating a lot of space and just letting everything breathe. And that was a decision that we made very early on to base the performances around the songs and to let the lyrics come through and to just give the listener, you know, somewhere, a space to relax in. So it's a decision we made, you know, to let it all breathe. And that's very kind of you to say that.
And this is a debut album, so how long has it been in the making, and how long have you been together?
Well, probably a year and a half, 2 years in the making. You know, it's funny, when you're in a band, you think it's all about just writing the tracks and recording them, and then when you realise that, you know, you've recorded them, but you know, you're still maybe four or five months away from release. So this has been a terribly, terribly long time coming for us. But I guess we've been together about 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, on the first day it comes out, we're kind of already talking about going back to the studio to kind of write and record the next one, to be honest.
Are you excited about having it released finally and you know, to see what people think of it?
It is
incredible.
We've had one of the tracks in particular that, you know, people can listen to, but it's really good to have it up there so that people can go and sample more of them and see that there's more to it than just that track, and there's quite a diversity of tracks on the album.
It's funny because, you know, you always hope that you get these kind of great reviews, and I think most of the reviews are going to come through this week because this is the week the album's released. But just over the weekend we had an early review, and I mean, a guy was so kind about it and basically said that the album would be cited by singers and songwriters for years to come. And you know, when someone says that, I don't know, it's not even about whether or not it's true, it's just an almost humbling thing for somebody to say. So it feels incredible to have it released, but it's a very strange thing to describe.
Well, Sebastopol, hello all stations, this is Zero on Warm Fuzz Records, is available now. How do people get their hands on a copy?
Well, you can go to iTunes, you can go to Amazon, Napster, pretty much all the the digital platforms, as they call them. You can go to Spotify, or as somebody said, if you prefer Bandcamp, then we're sebastopol.bandcamp.com, and you can get it there.
And Sebastopol is the spelling on that one. And the website for gigs and photos and weirdness?
Sebastopolband.com.
And we'll be heading down there very soon. It's been good to hear the songs. We're going to take Winter's Song next. So be prepared to be cheered by the death of something. Guys, absolutely lovely speaking to you. You sound like a bunch of nutters, to be fair. But a very talented group of nutters at that. So we'll look forward to listening to the whole album and hearing more from you in the years to come. Cheers. Bye for now.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye then.
Bye.
Don't stop you getting old. Lift the lid on my life. Payment overdue. This garden's made for playing in, with snakes inside the darkened shed. Mother's voice in heavy mode. Keep it clean or lose your head. Winter song keeps spinning.
That's Winter's Song.
That was lovely.
Enjoy
very
that.
Reflective.
Reflective, that's a good word for it. But there we go. Now, good band, good guys. So we'll be hearing more from them very soon. But first of all, we talked to Kelly from the Beacon Centre for the Blind, who joins us now on the phone. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
All right, thank you.
Good stuff. Now, we're talking, first of all, about your Sports Quest dinner, which takes place on the 11th of October. And if people want to get along and support the work of the Beacon Centre for the Blind, they need to do so quickly because you have, I believe, just the 10 spaces left.
Oh. We do. We've got 10 tickets left.
What I presume it's a dinner of some sort.
There's food involved, I think, yeah.
But yeah, so what's going to be happening on that night?
We've got two teams of three sports personalities competing against each other in a quiz, and obviously there's a meal involved and the entertainment on the evening. We've confirmed Matt Murray today.
Uh-huh.
Oh. So he'll be there along with, we've got Gladstone Small and Gary Shaw and two others, three others yet to be named.
So there was to be a tease by the sounds of things and to keep the tickets selling, but they've gone already pretty much apart from these last 10. So how much does it cost if people want to come down and take part in this?
It's £30 a ticket, mm-hmm. or obviously £300 for the table of 10 that's remaining.
And if you maybe as a business want to get down there, you can come along, enjoy something great to eat. And where does it take place?
It's at the Copthorne Hotel in Maryhill.
So that's an absolutely fabulous venue as well. So
is it
should
be nice. Have you been there, Jason?
I think I have actually sometime in the past. Yes. And so then you eat, and then the quiz takes place before you, and the sportsmen get to do their quest.
Yeah, there'll also be photo opportunities throughout the evening, so you can come along and have your photo taken with one of your sporting heroes. Mm.
It seems like a brilliant
idea.
I was
going to say, I think my husband would love to go to that, yes. Like the question of sport and all that sort of thing.
It's got that, it's got that sort of feel to it.
It's based on that, the question of sport style.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very interesting.
So that should be good. And you've got many more events taking place down there as well, because there's normally something going on, isn't there?
Yeah, we've always got something going on. We do a whole mixture of events, really. We've got a few in October. We've got a balloon race, so we're going to hopefully release 1,000 balloons from the top of Sedgley Beacon. We're selling those at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the 5th of October. We've obviously got things coming up to Christmas and other evenings throughout the year. So, there's always something going on.
You say, I remember doing something years ago that Jason helped me with. Abseil, didn't I, down the Banks' Brewery building?
I did the blind drive as well. That was a few years back now. That was quite frightening, but there we go. Yeah. Mostly for other people.
So I'm on the list and they do send me stuff through. And I half think sometimes when I get the parachute jump on, I think,
should I? Yeah.
And then I think, no.
If you want pushing out of a plane.
We're doing that next year, actually. So that's a big one we do next year, some skydiving.
Should be good.
Is it you that do the walk in the China Wall as well? Is that yours?
We do all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, so I quite fancy that one.
Mm-hmm. We did Poland last year. We're doing something next year. So, it just depends.
And if people want more information on any of your events and also the contact details to book tickets for the Sports Quest dinner, where do they go to or what phone number do they ring?
Yeah, it's all on our website, www.beaconforblind.co.uk, and everything's on there.
And that's a number 4 in the middle, so beaconforblind.co.uk. And the phone number for the dinner?
It's 01902 880 111.
880 111 in Wolverhampton if you fancy getting along for that one. As we said, it's the 11th of October, £30 a ticket, or there is actually one table of 10 left. If you want to buy the lot, £300 and it's yours.
Very good.
Kelly, thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Cheers. Ciao for now.
Bye.
Now on the phone, we have Adam Snaith. He's from the Revolution Gym Club in Birmingham. Hello, sir.
Hi there.
How's it going?
It's good.
Now, it must be a couple of years since we last met up.
It's flown by
because it's one of the fairly early shows, and I can't remember who the band were at the time, but we had the band in the studio and it all got really exciting because Rob, who's also works down there at Revolution, actually did a backflip in the corridor just outside the studio.
It wasn't when I was in my gym gear and I was doing some karate.
No, that was a different time. We didn't know that was something entirely different.
I think we remember saying you coming down and doing some gym action.
Yes, I do.
Well, we threatened to do this, but it's actually getting a chance to get down there because you've been rather busy of late. Is the office still open? Can we come and annoy you sometime?
You can come and annoy us anytime.
Brilliant.
Actually, it's a good job you've got him on because I do have a question that is gym related.
Okay, well, good. Is this just prompted the Olympics and the Paralympics making you want to do stuff like this?
Well, I am trying to get fit at the minute, and I want something to get rid of my bingo wings. Now, I have been told an exercise before, and I can't remember what it was.
So, before we talk about the club, Adam, sorry about this, mate. But
can I have an exercise for my bingo wings, please?
Bingo wings.
Any suggestions?
Pull-ups.
There we go. Question answered.
Pull up. So just like that then. Exactly.
No, lifting yourself up probably, the whole of your weight.
No.
I think you should do that. So we talk.
I'll have to come down and have a look. You'll have to show
me. We should have to do that. So first of all, remind people where it is you meet in Brum.
Okay, well, we're based over in Harbourne. We've got a facility on the Metchley Lane playing field. And then we also train at the Munro Sports Centre over at the Birmingham Uni.
and great facilities, and you've got people coming through, and I know you're taking part in competitions, so has there been much success there recently?
Yeah, we recently made it to the NIA for the British National Championships for Tumbling, and we placed fourth in the country, I think, which was quite exciting. It was the first time we'd ever been to the National Championships. So that was quite exciting this year.
That's not bad going at all. Well, congratulations on that one. So what age groups are you working with? Because you actually got kids from a fairly young age, haven't you?
We go from walking up until any age.
Even you, Jason.
I know. I'll come on. I've turned 40 since then.
I think I remember discussing this.
Yeah, and trying to con me into it. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Adam, just as a more of a challenge for you, I think I've put on about 4 stone since last we met. So it would be very bad if I were to try and be jumping over anything at the moment. But have you seen a load of unfit people turning up, inspired by the Olympics, who want to do this sort of thing?
It's been crazy. It's absolutely mental. We have over 41. Well, I think we've got 42 classes a week now. We've got over 600 members a week. The waiting list has grown and grown and grown. It's crazy at the minute.
That's good, though, because everybody needs to know, do that exercise to keep them fit going forward.
It's a really good sport. It gets you into anything. You can go to dance, karate, anything from gymnastics. It leads on to a lot of things.
And what is your personal favourite event?
I like the bars, which are my favourite piece. And which also, a bit of exciting news, we have actually just brought the Olympic bars for our gym.
I used to like the bars, actually, when I did gymnastics. Is it too late for me? Because I haven't done gymnastics since I was about 16.
We're actually we've got a sponsored thing going on at the moment, and our adult class are going to compete in a regional competition in November.
And that like includes like the bars and the...
That's just a floor and vault, but they train floor, vault, bars. They do all the badges, just like the kids.
Yeah.
So it's quite fun.
Oh, I used to really enjoy that. Do you do trampolining at all? Because I used to like that as well.
We do trampolining as well, yeah.
See. It's my childhood.
You see, you've got to get along, and there is a waiting list, as Adam says, but we can sneak Zoe in for a lesson. I can just stand there holding a recorder, can't I?
Definitely.
I don't mind doing trampolining.
Your best bet would
be come
down on the adult evening, and then you can speak to some of the other adults as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how old is your oldest adult member at the moment?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say.
Well, as long as we don't name them, we can get away with it.
I think she's, I'd say, late 40s.
Oh, that's all right then.
Yeah,
I'm not going to be the oldest one there.
No, I'd be happy with that. But you'll just be supple though, aren't you? So.
See, I can still do some of my tricks on the trampoline. I have a practice on the children's one every now and again.
It's not quite the same as a full-size grown-up one though, is it?
No.
Well, I was saying congratulations on your recent success. Hopefully you'll be training some maybe Olympians of the future.
Hopefully, that's the end goal.
So yeah, I'm trying to get, my lad's done some... there's an athletics program next to us, and they do like all the field events, like javelin and all that sort of thing. And I'm gonna. It wasn't too keen to go back, but I think I'm gonna send him in September.
Make him do it.
Yeah, because when he's there, he really enjoys it, and you can see he gets a lot out of it. And he's ever so good at throwing the javelin as well. And you never know where it might lead to later on.
You never do.
No, and although, like I say, he moans about it and stuff, he does enjoy it, and I'd rather him get out and have a bit of exercise and just sitting there watching something on telly or Xbox, or because it goes right the way through the winter, so you know, rather than him sitting inside doing nothing, get him out. And
a lot of kids just need that first
out
the door, really.
Yeah,
get them there and they're fine.
Well, give us the details of Revolution then, and how people can get in touch if they wish to join the waiting list, because there'll be some classes that we can probably fit them in a little sooner than others.
Yeah, definitely. If you go to revolutiongymclub.co.uk, that's our website. You've got our email addresses on there and contact numbers.
And hopefully in the next few weeks we can find some time when we get Zoe down to do a bit of jumping on, at least on your trampoline, if not maybe some work to get rid of the bingoings. I think she'd be great spinning around on a pommel horse. Normally it's only boys that do that, isn't it? Or do girls take part in that one as well?
But they don't compete it, yeah. It's normally men.
Yeah.
What do you do on
the
that?
The pommel
Jason?
Horse. It's the one where you got this thing and you swing round on the two hooks that are sticking out the top of it.
That would definitely get rid of
the haven't seen that.
Christian
that
Thomas
a bit
does
dizzy.
It. No.
Okay. I might be sick on that one.
that wouldn't be good. We wouldn't want us all in the gym floor. But Adam, lovely to speak to you. Cheers again for joining us, mate. And continued success. And we will turn up with Zoe and a tape machine sometime in the near future.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, guys.
The climate cool will be out. So half an hour.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Right, let's take our third and final tune. What is it, Zoe?
It's Sebastopol with The Hateful Mob.
Thank you.
Mob. Well, Sebastopol singing a song called The Hateful Mob. So, Zoe.
Yes.
We've enjoyed all their tunes, haven't we?
I have. You're very thoughtful and very calming. And I haven't listened to the words too much.
No, you've been busy nattering to me as we've been playing them. But there we go. Right, back to the plot and back to the phones we go, where we find Oliver Rowe from the Lichfield Youth Theatre. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Now, the Youth Theatre do all sorts of events. Lots of them involve singing. And your next production comes up later on this month.
That's right, yeah. We start on the 26th of September at the Litchfield Garrick, which is the Wednesday, running through to the Saturday, and we're performing Little Shop of Horrors, which is a quite well-known musical comedy.
Now, that one, I saw Lorraine Chase in that.
I've seen the film. But
well, I saw it on stage at the Hippodrome. But it's different seeing the film to seeing the production, because you have to have a live plant rather than just some... Okay, it's animatronics and stuff. But it's still a live plant on stage that grows and grows and grows in the shape of Audrey.
That's
so
right.
That must be a bit of a technical challenge for you.
It is, yeah. I mean, you see the plant in different stages, so it starts off very small and gets very big. So, yeah... we have to have a very, very switched-on technical crew to make the plant work, and obviously a very talented voice of the plant as well, so it all has to work like clockwork.
Now, the plant, as I recall, normally got quite a deep voice, so have you been able to find some butcher youths to make that noise?
We have a very good take on the plant. It's voiced by a chap called Robert Glynn, who's been in many youth theatre productions over the past few years. And yeah, it won't be a deep version, but it's a very very cool version. So yeah.
Doesn't the plant eat people?
The plant does eat people. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's a take on the old sort of bee movies, the old science fiction genre, and it's a bit of a mixed take out of that kind of thing. Done very lovingly. The central character, Seymour, basically across this lovely plant, which he names after the girl he loves, called Audrey, so he calls it the Audrey 2. And then the plant kind of manipulates things and eats people and grows and then see what happens in the end.
Yes, you need to go along, and it is an absolutely fabulous piece. And it's good to know that the youth theatre's doing some maybe slightly more challenging pieces than often what does get seen. And you've done that in the past. I really enjoyed when you did The Wizard of Oz. That was brilliant. I think I saw you do Jesus Christ Superstar as
That's
well.
That's right, yeah.
And it's getting a chance to get across to Lichfield, but it's well worth it if you can and pick up tickets for it, because you're doing some fantastic work down there.
Thank you.
So tell us how we can get hold of tickets for this particular production, because it starts on the 26th of September.
That's right, yep, running through to Saturday the 29th. There's a matinee production on the 29th as well. And you can book tickets for box office, which is 01543 412121, or through the Lichfield Garrick website. You can buy them online, choose where you would like to sit.
I do like doing that when you go on to go somewhere.
You can choose where you want to sit.
But there's not a bad seat in the house in the Garrick either, is there? It's a very well-designed modern theatre.
It is, yeah. It's an excellent venue, and we really enjoy performing there, and we're glad it's our home.
Yeah. Are you all prepared? I mean, is everything done?
We are. We've got 5 rehearsals left, which sounds a bit scary. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, everyone's on form. We've got about 45 12 to 18-year-olds in the cast. We've got the usual very, very high professional standard show orchestra. A little bit different to how people have seen it before. It's traditionally just done with a 3 or 4-piece band with like a keyboard and a drum and a bass. But we've got a full band. It's a 10-piece. There's some wind in there and all sorts of percussion. So it will sound very different to probably what people are used to hearing if they've seen Little Shop of Horrors before. And we've done something slightly different with the staging of it as well, so hopefully it will really involve the audience, so they'll have to come and find out to see what happens.
How much is it to get in?
Tickets range from £10 to £15 depending on when they come, and there's conditions at certain performances, so all the info is on the website.
And you know that, the performers are doing it for nothing, but the experience, what you're getting is the actual full theatre experience, and it helps pay for that and helps fund the work of these kids expand their minds and get them involved in something, and you never know. Previous members of your cast have gone off to do great things at various theatre schools up and down the country.
Yeah, they have. We've got some of our cast are in working on the West End now. We've got Siobhan Dillon, who's the leading ghost at the moment in London, and then 2 of our former cast members. We've got Katie Kerr and Sam Buttery, who was just recently a finalist on The Voice on the BBC. They've both just been cast in the Boy George musical Taboo, which Boy George himself is kind of redoing it in Brixton. So that's another couple in a West End show. So we seem to be doing quite well for talent. So Lichfield seems to have lots of it. So come on down and see the future of the West End. Don't
yeah,
we?
But they will be stars. But they are stars now. It's going to be a fantastic show, I'm sure. So that's on the 26th through the 29th of September. And the phone number again to get tickets?
It's 01543... 412-121, and that's the Garrick box office.
And the website was
www.lichfieldgarrick.com.
You see, I've got absolutely no memory at all, so I assume no one else has. I like to remind them of these things. Oliver, good to talk to you as ever. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thank Take care. Cheers,
Cheers,
Jason.
Ciao for now.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
So another week over, episode 169 next week.
Yes.
Is the best you can say to that.
Well, it is. I'm drained from all the people we've had on, Jason. It's been quite a thrilling episode.
Quite a busy show. And yes. you'll be watching X Factor again soon to see whether Joseph's on.
Oh, and see if he's got his shirt on.
Yeah, there's videos of him with dementia online. You can probably download this.
I'll have a look at that.
You're quite happy.
I wish I hadn't missed it now, because I tend to forget that it's on. And I heard such good reviews over his performance that, I presume it'll be repeated at some point.
So you can probably get it on ITV2 almost endlessly. I think that's how it works with television.
Because, like I say, I know a few people that watched and they said it was very good.
But look out for his video online. You can also get the video of Sebastopol as well, and you can watch that one too.
Mm.
And fingers crossed, if everything goes to plan, live music in the studio next week. That's what we're hoping for. So fingers crossed we'll be able to do that one for episode 169 here at the Milk Bar. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Yeah.